And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from Pause for People, we have its Executive Director, Lynn Robinson. Lynn, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It is so wonderful to actually have you here today because, this, you know, you are. I was telling you this before the show, but I'm serious. This is the first time I've sat down with somebody.
Well, and I feel honored.
Well, you should, and you know why.
And we have a dog,
that's
too.
That's why. So, yeah, that's
very
why
special.
You said bringing dog, and this place perked up like you wouldn't believe.
Well, I'd believe it. That's the whole point of our purpose.
Well, so let's explain what Pause for People is. Just tell us that mission statement, and then let's get into the history and what you do.
Okay. And the mission statement, if you listen really carefully, is exactly what we do. It is to lovingly provide elders, children, and folks with disabilities individualized therapeutic visits with a gentle, affectionate pet. So that kind of takes care of who we visit, which is everybody, with whom we visit, which is the gentle affectionate pet, what we do, which is individualized therapeutic visits.
Well, we've never finished a show that quickly.
And we're fantastic, so what can I say?
You've been around a long, long time, haven't you?
Is that personally or just with Pause?
Oh, I'm sorry, Pause. I'm so sorry. I should have said
personally, it feels that way. But with Pause, we just celebrated our 15th anniversary.
And in dog years, you've been around a long time.
That is true.
That is a long time for an organization like this. Because now you are, what's your footprint here?
Well, we are in the entire state of Delaware. And two counties in New Jersey, two counties in Pennsylvania, two counties in Maryland. So it's kind of Delaware and then surrounding areas. And we don't want to get much bigger than that. We want to be more thorough and more deep than big. We don't need to, you know, take over the world.
So how was it founded? Who did it and why?
That would be me. The dog that is sitting next to me is not the dog that I started with. The first dog was named Boo Radley. And if anybody remembers To Kill a Mockingbird, remember that Boo was the guy, the weird guy next door, but he saved the kids at the end of the book. So it was an appropriate name. That dog was rescued out of the newspaper by my husband and myself. And when we introduced him to any neighbors or any friends, he was just a phenomenal visitor, very, very sensitive to people's feelings. He knew when to get close. He knew when to stay away. He knew, you know, who to snuggle up with. And I went, oh, this is interesting. This is a very special dog. So I started visiting on my own, you know, a couple of sites in the Newark and Elkton area. And then it's a sort of groove. Other people found that that was a neat thing and they wanted to do it too. And we added some people and we added some sites, and I could go on for 4 days about that. But then we started with 21 therapy teams, a team being like you and your dog or me and my cat. We had 10 different sites that we visited. We started off with elder care. We had 8 elder care sites and 2 Easter Seals. So that's the disabilities part. Now we have over 600 therapy teams. We're in the 4-state area. We visit over 200 different sites and have about 22 different programs. And by program, I mean Pause for Reading. So kids come to the library and read to the dog. That's a program. We may have several sites that do that. We have an autism program. We have a program for PTSD. We have a mental wellness program. And I could go on for 23, but you get the idea.
And so it started off with kids with intellectual or physical disabilities and elders, and then you just have moved on like this. How do you do this? How do you have the training and the knowledge, or how did you develop to get into such specialized programming? Autism, PTSD. I mean, I'm really, one, impressed and
well,
thrilled by
you.
It.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I am a retired English teacher, public school English teacher. So for me, although, you know, there's not a degree in pet therapy, and there certainly wasn't 15 years ago. In fact, 15 years ago, pet therapy was kind of the middle-aged woman with a golden retriever going to the hospital, everybody pets the dog. You know, what you see on TV, what you see in the newspaper, it's so much more than that. So as we began to grow and I had therapy teams coming in saying, oh, I have an autistic son. I'd really like to go into his classroom. So my thought was, that's terrific, but we darn well better teach our team about autism so when they go into that classroom, they understand what's going on and they can do a really good visit. Same thing with Alzheimer's. If you want to go visit somebody in a memory care facility and you don't understand why they're doing what they're doing or why they're saying what they're saying or why they're following you around with their pocketbook, if you don't understand that, then you really can't do a good visit and listen to them and spend time. So that's how the programs develop. Somebody would come and say, oh, you know, PTSD is something important. My cousin just got back from Afghanistan. Let's do something with that. And my answer is always, okay. And then we do research and we develop a program. We do training and then people go do it.
How do people, I don't know whether it's the cart before the horse, but you don't take horses.
No horses.
I'm either going to ask you now, how do people get therapy sessions or get your program to come to them? And then the other is, how do you get these teams? So which way would you like to go first?
Let's start with the sites.
Okay.
Any site, and a site can be a hospital, it can be a particular nursing home, it can be a group home. But actually we have a special request program, which is anybody, an individual, can call us. They can go on our website, which is pauseforpeople.org, and on the navigation bar, there's a place that says request pause. And basically you fill out a form and then we talk with you and we go out and do a presentation. We do a site visit. I always take my dog with me so I can do visits with the folks and see how everybody responds. So if you're going into a mental wellness site or a drop-in for people with mental illness, that's a very different kind of visit than if you're going to an assisted living. People need different kinds of feedback. They need different kinds of support. So if I'm working, like right now I'm working with a 5-year-old selective mute. That's a very different kind of visit than if I work with my 90-year-old Alzheimer's person in his patio because of COVID at this point, we're doing that. So anybody can request visits and then we basically screen, select, and we see if we have teams, which brings us to the team question. Anybody that has a bunny or a kitty cat or a dog, we don't do any other animals because we like to call ourselves paws, not claws or talons or whatever.
Hooves.
Hooves, yeah. Hooves for people.
That eliminates the llama, I asked
it
about
does,
earlier. Okay.
It does take care of the llamas the alpacas. I'm sorry. But they can do the exact same thing, go on the website, look at the navigation bar, do a request pause, and as volunteer, fill out a form. We get back to them. We're very, I would call us personable, very good customer service. So we actually talk to people, call on the phone, person to person, ask questions. Then we have a pretty rigorous training program so that the person and the animal have to come through training. So we're really teaching the person, but the animal has to be part of it also. When they get through all of that, there's a certification test. We're supposed to call it an evaluation so we don't scare people. And then a first visit. So if they say, I want to go to Rockford or I want to go to the Newark Library or wherever they want to go, we make sure they've got the training and the requirements to do that. And then somebody that is experienced takes the person in for their first visit to make sure that they're comfortable. You know, kind of like, here's where the bathroom is, here's where you park, this is where you put your blanket, you know, those kinds of things. And after the end of the first visit, when I'm doing it, I always say, is this what you were hoping for? And the answer is almost always, it's even better. So it's a joyful thing because people are sharing the animal that they love and they adore, and that's usually absolutely wonderful animal because we don't let absolutely unwonderful animals in. And if you're sharing that, that's the relationship between the person and the animal, which is getting tighter and stronger because they become a team. And then the person is also the kind of person that wants to give back to the community. So they're taking their time to spend with other people who are really in need. Anybody that we visit, whether they're ill or sad or anxious or whatever the issue is, they always feel better after you get to pet with a dog.
Back when we had community calendars because there were things going on, Paws for People, oh, it was always on it because yep. You would routinely, you have those, they were information orientation sessions and they were mandatory if you wanted to become one. And they always started off with, if you have a loving and affectionate pet,
that's right.
Paws for People. And that's how it starts. It's an orientation and you come and do you bring your pet with it?
Absolutely.
And does someone come in and the dog is snarling or the cat is a biter? I mean, do you ever?
Well, we do a lot of screening in the initial phone call and looking at the application. And if something comes up in the initial conversation, my dog only pees when she's excited. Well, she's going to be excited every time she visits, so this is a problem. So we have dog trainers, we have other people that are knowledgeable, so we have folks that can usually address those situations and help the person out. Sometimes it's just not a good match. Sometimes it just doesn't work. And we do have to agree to that. Sometimes the person isn't the right kind of person. If you're not going to listen, if you're not going to be attentive to the person that you're visiting with, then what's the point? You may as well stay home and watch TV. Otherwise, you bring your pet and you enjoy meeting lots of people in lots of different situations. You have to be tolerant. You have to be flexible. But then you go home or you stop at Dairy Queen, which is what I do. I get my pet a... little Dairy Queen treat, and I have to have one for myself. It's only fair.
So you've got to be a people person, yes. And obviously the pet has to be affectionate and also trainable. Are there any special commands? Like, I've got 9 cats.
Oh, and, wow.
You know, and there's a joke about you can't herd cats, or, you know, it's like herding cats. And they're wonderful roommates, but you do actually train. The dog is picking up new skills,
yes,
in this programming,
yes,
isn't it?
In the certification evaluation that we do, there are all of those basic commands: sit, down, stay, come, you know, leave a treat on the ground, walking through a crazy situation with noises and clashes and things dropping and the crowd scene. People have to do like a practice visit so that we see if the animal is people focused or, you know, they're off sniffing in the corner, because that's not really what we want either. So what we want to be able to do is have a team, by the time they're ready to go into a facility and actually visit, we want them to be comfortable. We want them to know what the rules of the road are. And there are certain things that people shouldn't do. And there are certain things that people should do. And now with COVID-19, we've had to change a lot of things, because I've spent the last 15 years trying to get people to be more engaged, more, you know, shake hands, pat shoulders, get the dog up close. Now we've had to sort of back off on some of those things. However, we are still visiting. For a little while, we shut down. And I was thinking, okay, how do you take an organization that's based on up close and personal and, oh gosh, are we dead? And then what actually happened, if I can say this now, is some of our teams started with pictures, and they would send pictures to like their favorites at whatever site they used to visit. And then we had some people make some videos, and then some people made some posters. And then it was like, okay, we really have to recognize our hospital folks, so let's make a video and a special thing just for them. And my staff jumped on all these ideas, ran with them. And again, since I have over 600 teams, there's a lot of people with a lot of creativity. So we started doing Zoom visits. And because we started doing Zoom visits, we now have people from California and South Carolina that get on our website, see that they can sign up for a Zoom reading visit. And we're now national, which is kind of scary, but that's what we can do now. So we developed coloring pages, and actually when we have 2 prisons that we visit, and the inmates love the coloring pages. But the coloring pages are made out of pictures of our animals that you can use a special program and make a coloring page. We send cards. with dog prints as signatures and cat prints as signatures. So we started out having to do something to give to people. And then all of the research basically is supporting that virtual, of course, not as good as in person, but is really darn good. It's like all the people that are watching the YouTube animal things and loving it, that's kind of what it's like, except it's our teams doing it. So now we have what we used to do and the virtual visual part. So now we're sort of doing both and juggling, and who knows where we'll go from there.
Are you a unique organization? Are there others out there across the country?
Oh, Laura, I'd love
a lot of peers.
Of course we're unique. and fantastic.
Well, you are at the top of that pyramid, but are there?
We are in the East Coast. We are the biggest, and we have a good reputation. In fact, there's a gentleman that's starting a business and wanted to find an organization to give money to as their donation. And he Googled, and we came up, and he called us, and I answered, and now we have a business relationship, which is kind of neat. But now I forget what question you asked.
That was my question. I just wondered if, you had to play nice with others and all.
And the other part is we are Paws for People, just us. Now, it is true that we have teams in the four states, but I'm sure there are other Paws for People organizations that are in, Utah and who knows what.
Pet therapy.
Yeah, the same. And there are lots of organizations that do pet therapy. Some of them are very, very small. Some of them are kind of medium. Nobody does it quite like we do. And I've gotten that comment many times because of the training that I mentioned earlier. We have what we call PAWS University. And that means, again, if you want to work with an autistic child, you have to take the Autism Initiative class. If you want to work with some of the kids in school that are experiencing trauma, we have a trauma class. And that's a six-hour class. It's all about trauma, what it is, how it presents, and then what do you do about it? How do we, we're not therapists. We can't get into that avenue. But what we can do is provide a dog so people can feel more comfortable and relax a little bit.
Well, if you are just joining us, we are talking today to Lynn Robinson. She is the executive director for Paws for People. And if you'd like more information, pawsforpeople.org. Again, that is pawsforpeople.org. You have alluded to all of these different programs. And the one that caught my eye, I just love the Paws for Reading. And that just seems so sweet and so fun. And you've written a book, and you mentioned your English background,
yes.
And
yes.
You wrote a book, and it's called Healers, The Deeper Impact of Pet Therapy, along with Rachel Brown. And in it, you do case studies, and you talk about all the different ways pets have affected your clients and how they have been impacted by having this loving pet experience. Talk about the different stories in the book.
Okay, that I would be delighted to talk about the book. And that first I'll address the reading program is based on solely positive reinforcement for the kids. Most of the time we're dealing with struggling readers, not always. And sometimes it's even adults that sit down on our blanket. But what we do is offer the person the opportunity to be with a dog, to pet the dog or lie down with the dog or just have that comfort and that companionship while they're reading. And the joy of it is that they are reading to the dog. So they're teaching the dog. Instead of being the kid reporting to the adult, what they're doing is they're the one in charge and they're talking to the dog and asking the dog questions and reading about it. So it is a very beautiful program. We do not mentor. We do not correct. We do not do anything but make it positive. And we just had an experience with a little girl, and a mom wrote a wonderful, wonderful testimonial. The little girl hated books and ran away and hid and wouldn't do anything. And then she read, and this was a virtual visit, a Zoom visit, and she liked it. And it was fun to be with the dog, and it was different. And then she got another book, and then she started reading on her own, and then she started reading to her mom. And it's just really developed into a child that now is comfortable with reading and wants to do it. And that's what we want. The way the book is organized, and you picked up on this beautifully, is chapter by chapter, it hits each one of our programs. So if you read chapter 4, it might be about our PTOT program. If you read chapter 7, it's going to be about another program. But each chapter focuses and features different therapy teams. So you get their view of what they're doing and what their animals are doing. And basically, I would say, and I certainly am biased, totally biased, this is magic. It is the result of the human-animal bond, which is so strong and has gotten so much attention lately. Thank goodness, because that helps us. But it is true that there is a bond, especially between humans and dogs. And when there is a dog there, people can relax. They can feel more grounded. And I can tell you a really quick story. As I was doing a virtual reading session with some inmates at Vaughan Correctional Center. So we're talking about hardcore lifers. And they volunteer to come read or talk to the dog. So they come, they sit down in a chair, they're handcuffed. They're looking at their screen. I'm looking at my screen. I've got a dog there. And so they start talking to the dog and me. And every time they get ready to leave, every one of them says, "Thank you. This makes me feel a little more at home." And I think if you can do that for somebody like that, that's pretty important.
Like in the situation with reading, you're not judged. You're not going to get advice. You're not going to get any criticism.
It's all positive. And what we do, especially in the reading thing, as you were interested in that, is if the child is stuck on a word, instead of saying, "Well, that's bogus," or whatever.
Sound it out.
Yeah, you say, "Oh, Boo doesn't know that word. Well, let's take a look at that and see what that is." And then you can do some sounding out. Or, here Tori is sitting here on the floor, and he's really confused about what's going on in this story. Can you help him understand it better? So we can do some support that way, but we do it through the animal, and it works a whole lot better than standing there saying, "I want 3 reading comprehension questions," like right now. Absolutely. So putting the book together was very interesting. We asked several of our team members if they would be interviewed, and then they tell us a story, and then Rachel did a lot of the interviews and actually went out with people during the visit so that she could see what was really going on. I did the introduction and the conclusion because I wanted it to be a certain way. And the cover is the first Paws dog. That's Boo Radley right there.
Oh, he's beautiful.
Yeah, he was a very special dog.
Okay, you know what? I'm dying to ask you how you take a cat in for a visit. But I also want to know about, let's continue with the reading first. Your Paws for Reading Summer Challenge, this is the middle of July. This runs through the end of August. Mm-hmm. Now, what is that? And what are you doing there?
Well, what we wanted to do was encourage kids to keep reading. And if we could not work with them in summer programs at libraries and schools, because the libraries and schools aren't open, we thought we would put this on. It's all virtual. Everything that you can get certificates and gifts and all kinds of different things. But basically, the kids are supposed to be reading 20 minutes a day for the time period, and I think it's 1,000 hours if you did that from the time it started until the time it's over. This is the first time we've ever done anything like this, and it's become very popular, very popular.
I bet the kids who are missing seeing the dogs and the cats and the bunny rabbits.
Right.
Yeah, it's a nice way of continuing a tradition if they were going to the library every summer and reading with a pet.
And it's very nice for the parents because it's something else the kids can do, because of course parents are looking for things for the kids to do. For sure.
Well, we are running out of time. I'm about to give you that 2-minute warning, but first I'm dying to ask, how do you take the cats and the bunny rabbits for visits? Dogs, I can understand because leashes and you're working with them and giving them commands that they learn.
Right. With the cats and the bunnies, they usually go in arms. So people are carrying them. They do have harnesses and leashes. Because we can't let them just be afraid or something and run away. But mostly they are lap sitters or like holding a baby. And people like that. It's the purring in the ear and the warmth, and you can feel the vibration. So when we test these animals. It's really testing if you can hand an animal off from one person to another, if they can hold still on a lap for a little while. If they jump off, do they use claws to get away, or are they gentle that way? So it's amazing. The bunnies are really, really popular. We don't have many of them, but they're, and we have some of those great big giant rabbits that are like as big as your whole chest. And then we have some, you know, tiny little bunnies with the cute little ears and things.
So I'm hearing this, and I've got that cat that is docile and purrs, and it is basically
we
just a bag of sand with fur, and a bunny rabbit. Or I've got this great dog, and who's loving and friendly and never met a stranger and doesn't jump when a loud noise goes off. What do I do? And if I don't have an animal, how can we get involved? If I want to just help out or do something with you,
we love you either way. If you have an animal, you go on our website or call the office, which is 302-351-5622. People there are there back in the office now. And someone will guide you through, because, again, it's an application and then lots of conversation and training, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't have an animal, we have many events. We have community events and fundraising events that we always need extra hands. And those are the kinds of things that can be done and have a whole lot of fun. Because if you come to the office, there are animals there. It's fun.
So, and I'm going to guess you take donations as well?
We're happy to take donations. Yes, absolutely.
And if I am thinking my child or my father, my neighbor is lonely and maybe lost the animal in their life a few years ago, and they're old and elderly and they want and my neighbor would like somebody, we just pick up the phone, or do we go to your website?
Either way, if you're comfortable with the website, again, it's going on the navigation bar that says Request Paws, and that program is called Paws by Special Request, which is exactly what it is. It's a special request. Right at this particular point, I have a 90-year-old that we're visiting, moving into dementia. We are working with the selective mute that I talked about. We have a gentleman who was in a bad car crash. He's 44, living at home, and can't get out. And so his mother said, he really needs something. He needs a companionship of a dog. Can you come visit? And our answer is always, yes, we will find you someone.
And if I am a facility, a school, an organization for young people, I run a nursing facility, we reach out for you as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And of course, when we go to your website, we're going to find out more information about orientations, how to train.
More than you ever wanted to know.
and a way to get the book too, yes. Healers, The Deeper Impact of Pet Therapy. And that is Len Robinson with Rachel Brown. And that's available on the website as well.
It is.
Yes, it is.
It is.
And of course, for more information, everything that we've talked about today, pawsforpeople.org. That's pawsforpeople.org. You'll get information about Paws for People. And the executive director, Len Robinson, our guest today. Len, thank you for coming in. Really, thank you for coming
thank
in.
You.
And Tori, too.
Yeah. And thank you. It's been fun.
It's been wonderful. Thank you. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.